Eddie Gregory.
Thanks, Paul. Usually when I'm getting introduced, I stay sitting down to let it keep going, you know? It's not every now and again, you know, that's rare, you know, the people pay me compliments. Well, thanks, Paul. It's great to be here. You're very welcome to Liberty Community Church. Anyone here for the first time? No? Oh, we're all here. Okay, brilliant. So you're very, very welcome to Liberty Community Church. If you want to turn with me to Deuteronomy 30, we'll share the word which is this morning. I say, my name is Eddie. I'm one of the elders here. Being here from the kind of beginning. I remember we started church. There's a group of us in St. Mark's. Many years ago it was, and Noel had a vision for this community, and so we decided to break away in the sense that we decided to move to Dolphins Barn, where we were already having a meeting in Noel's garden's flat. Everyone squeezed into a two-bedroom flat on the ground floor, thank God. We fallen over balconies, but it was an amazing time. It was an amazing time, and some people don't understand the context. Some people come up the stairs, if you're here for the first time, if you're only here coming a few months, it's just a place here, whatever. You know, but it wasn't. This is an accumulation of the vision of God. This weekend we had a conference. Friday night, it was absolutely jammers in here. Saturday, you know, a world-renowned speaker came to speak to us. He spoke about the sound of heaven. He spoke about releasing your purpose. Releasing your potential. I seen a young man being put onto the ground yesterday that didn't realize his potential. He was a young man and he left two. The thing that struck me was his two sons, two little kids, roaring, crying behind the coffin. And he didn't fill his potential. But God had a plan for him, but the world had another plan. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. But I want everyone to understand the context of this place. We started, 12 of us, with the blessing of Gary Davison and St. Mark's Church, branched out to Dolphin and the wider community as a part of a vision, as part of a burning desire for Noel and Sharon to meet this community. I remember as Noel was years and years ago, and show me age here, but years and years ago, Noel was one of the counselors in Teen Challenge when it was up on Thomas Street, little kind of Teen Challenge program on Thomas Street. And I was there, and Noel was one of the counselors there. And I remember another guy bringing me down to St. Mark's on a Sunday evening when I was there. And we met Noel and Sharon at the college there, Trinity College at the gates there. They were going to St. Mark's as well. And I would have been only kind of two or three weeks into coming off drugs and stuff like that. And I always remember Noel saying, John Edwards was there, and John said to Noel, are you going down to church? And Noel says, yeah, we're heading down there as well. Sharon turned around and says, but someday we're going to go to our own church. And that was here. And that struck me. It struck me in my heart that a word was spoken that affected me. And to the point where I've been involved in it and been here from the very beginning, if you like. And now we're in four locations. I was up in Cadogan there for the last few weeks. And I see the hunger of people coming in and just being alive to the gospel and what the gospel has to offer. Just starving for truth. Starving for another way. Starving for another option. Another way to see themselves. Another way to communicate to their inner being. Where it's all just negative and hopelessness and death and destruction. There's this light that comes in that says, no, you don't have to. It can be different. People are absolutely starving for it. You see it out in Bray when we took over a dying church out in Bray, that people were leaving left, right, and center, away from 80 people to 20 people in 6 months. And we went and we took it over because Noel wouldn't allow it to die. And now it's back up to 80, 100 people. And the people are starving for the truth and starving for Pastor Rob and what he has to offer. We're going to see it out in Fingless where it's going to grow because they're starving out there as well. We're also going to see in here. Hands up, who RD is their church. Yeah. So we're responsible for here. They're flying. Clondalkin is flying. Bray is flying. Fingless is flowing. It's up to us now as well. You know, we lost a lot of people in the sense that they have, in faith, have moved off to these churches, but we take up the mantle. And we kind of put our potential and our fruit into this. Amen? Amen. So let's, are you with me? It's Deuteronomy 30. It's about choices. It's about understanding your potential. And it's about understanding what God says. And if you do what God says, things will be okay. It's not complicated. Some people want complication. I've been talking to people and all, and I said, I'm going to church and I hope it's me. I want meat and potatoes preaching. I want deep preaching. I want it to be heavy. And sometimes it's heavy is the simple. It's understanding the truth. And the truth is very, very simple. Very, very easy to understand. And it goes like this. It's Deuteronomy 30:11, and it says, now what I command you today is not too difficult. For you are beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask. Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask. Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live in increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to his father, to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that amazing? It's heavy and amazing at the same time. And we're talking about the sound of heaven. And we're talking about the voice of heaven. Because it says here, listen to his voice. And God is, in a sense, when you look at the sound of heaven, he has instructed us. And it's the voice of God that directs us, if we're listening. And sometimes it's very, very simple, if you just listen. And it's not too complicated, if you just listen. And we're talking about it all the time, about the sound of heaven. But God was talking, in this context, he was talking to the Jews who were coming out of slavery and about to possess the land of milk and honey. But you see, the land of milk and honey had to be maintained and it had to be kept. So to stay in the land of milk and honey, there is a direction. You cannot possess it unless you understand the instruction given to you before you go in. And that's very, very true. You can't possess the land unless you understand how to possess the land and how to keep it, because you can lose it. As I say, we buried the fella yesterday who was in the land and lost it. And he lost his foothold on it and he lost his grip on it. And all that he had was lost. And everything he possessed was lost. And every witness he had was lost. Because unfortunately, he couldn't possess and hold on to it. And you see, we have to understand that when we are entering into the promised land, that we have to understand the direction that God gives you. And he says it like this. He says, it's not too difficult, you know.
and I love that about God. It's not too difficult. What I'm about to tell you is not too difficult. Because some people want to bog themselves down. And God says, well, it's not up so high that people have to go to lofty places to bring it back down. And he also says, and it's not across the sea. So that people have to, you have to ask someone, can you cross the sea and bring back the truth? See, the truth is in us. It's not in a distant place. A lot of people come to church, and you have to hear my heart on this, they come to church, and they want people to fill them with truth. And they want people to fill them with direction. And they want people to continually guide them. And the matter of fact is that the word is in their heart. It's not too far away. And it's, as God has said, it's not beyond your reach. Because we can use that as an excuse. And we can say, you know what? I need someone to tell me what to do. And it's fine. We need to preach. We need to teach. And we need to give instruction. But sometimes we have to start taking it on board ourselves. Seriously. Sometimes we have to start hearing it ourselves. We have to start obeying it. And start saying, look, this is for me. Because I want to possess the land. And I want to hold on to it. And I can't depend on pulpits to keep me alive. I have to start obeying. Because God says to me very, very clearly, it's not beyond your reach. But when you come into a church and you say, I need to get to that pastor, then you're saying it's beyond my reach. Or I need to get there, I need someone to tell me what you're saying. That God said it's not beyond your reach. It's fact, it's in you. It's in your heart. And I'll explain that more as I go on. I'll explain that more as I go on. And God says to them, he says a very strange thing, and I struggled with this as I seen it coming at me. He says, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And I go, what does that mean? Life, prosperity, death and destruction. So God, is that what you're offering me? And I went studying it, and I went looking at it, and I got commentaries on it. I went a bit deeper with it. And what he's saying is that when I give you instruction, there is a choice for you. If you go one way, it's life and prosperity. But if you go another way, it's death and destruction. So I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. You must choose. You must take it on board. It must be belonging to you. And it's yours. And if you study Deuteronomy and if you study the context of this, it's all about the individual. It's all about personal choice. It's all about where you're at with this. Because sometimes we can come into a community and the community is our choice. And we kind of trust in the group rather than the individual. And the problem with that is that it's lost by the time we get to the end of the service. It's lost on Monday morning. Because you never own it. It's never yours. It's the guy that's standing up here. It's the elder's stuff. It's not old stuff. It's never mine. But God says, no, hold on for a minute. No. He's talking to 3 million people here, by the way. Because, David, that was the number of the Jews. 3 million people. But everything is you, you, you. You must, you must, you must. And the individual is very much brought to the front. If you. And he's talking to the people individually. And so he says, I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. And my goodness, that shook me to the core. It shook me to the core, especially in the context of the week I'm about to have, or the 2 weeks I'm about to have in the job I'm in. Because that young guy we buried was very much involved in our ministry. And it shook everyone to the core. And looking at it and trying to understand it, I had to allow myself to keep on going into the chapter. Because it says here, if your heart turns, again, your heart. Not the collective heart. Yours. If your heart turns, and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, bear with me, guys. I'm going to bring hope in this now in a minute. Just bear with me for a minute, because I could lose everybody now with that. I'm out of here. That fella's too hard. I'm out of here. I'm on my heels now. I'm out of here. Can I sneak out of here? I'll never come here again. That's too hard. He said that to Jesus, by the way. That's too difficult for us. It's too hard. It's law. Eddie Law. Eddie Law, Gregory. You know, Eddie, put the law on us. Put the fear of God on us. Put the fire and the brimstone on us. And I'm gone. Well, hear me. If you are drawn away to go and bow down and worship other gods. Because the fire of the heart of God is about the individual here, because he knows what happens if you do that. We make an accusation against the church and all that, God, that they're forcing me into holiness, that they're forcing me into obedience, that they're putting pressure on me, that they're doing this to me, they're doing that to me, and I don't like that. But the reality is, if you do that, this is what happens. I've talked to people. There was a guy that I grew up as a young Christian. He would have mentored me as a young Christian. He would have put his arm around me. He gave me some amazing words when I was a young Christian, when I made mistakes, and I still make mistakes. And he used to put his arm, I used to walk with him, and he used to put his arm around me. He said, Jesus loves you, don't worry about it, let's pray. Let me tell you my story. And he was an absolute influence in my life, a major influence in my life, up there with Noel, up there with Sharon. And he guided me, and he done this, and he done that for me. And I was ringing him and talking to him, and spent loads of time with this guy. And all of a sudden, in the context of his life, he got drawn away. And he started worshipping these other gods. His family broke up. Marriage broke up. He started a relationship with a girl half his age. He went down a road of drink and this, that, and the other. And what happened to him? He ends up in a mental home. If you are drawn away, it says, God is concerned about you. He sees ahead, you see. He sees that if you're going from light and all of a sudden you start going into the darkness again, that affects you. If you go back down on your arse again. You go back down into a place of darkness again and no hope again. And that voice comes at you again, I'm not worth living. And you start trying to suck the life out of the world. No, it's not the answer. You start to go back to the ways of the world and drinking and sex and drugs and rock and roll, and you find yourself at the end of yourself very, very quickly. Because God says, hold on for a minute, if you're drawn away, this is what happens. So don't be drawn away. It's not God saying, you putting the finger on you. Stay with me or else. So a lot of people love to do that. They love to say, well, Eddie's up there and he's saying, he's warning me. If I don't stay in his church, bad things are going to happen to me. If that's where your heart is at, then there's nothing much we can do for you. But I guarantee you, if you're starting to be drawn away from light, you start going back into darkness. And God's not saying that to hold you and blackmail you. He's saying it because he loves you. And he wants you in the light. Because it's in the light where we thrive. It's in the light where we have peace and joy and happiness and strength. It's in the light where we can sleep at night, put our head to the pillow with peace. It's in the light where we can prosper. Where we can have a few bob in our pocket. Where we can start fulfilling our purposes. And start prospering in the ways and the things of God. And start being involved in your community and putting hampers together and giving 1,100 hampers out to your community. You know what was an amazing statement that Noah made? People were wrapping hampers who needed hampers themselves. Get that one into your head. People in this church were giving hampers out that needed hampers themselves. Put that into context. Because that's what God does. And they knew God was going to supply their every need. And they knew that they were going to have a great Christmas in God. Because that's what God does. But you see, in darkness, we don't understand that. And then he says an amazing thing again. Stay with me because I'm going to start putting a bit of hope into this. It's not just about warnings. He says, God says, before heaven and earth, as my witness, which is an amazing statement in itself, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And I have worked with people over the years, particularly in this church, that have come in, and I'm one of them, have come in to God with excuses. And that's fine. And they come into God with hurt and pain and a history. Yeah? All our hands up to that. A history. And a lot of it is not a nice history. And there's a lot of stuff going back into our past, and we bring that to God. And you have to hear me hard on this. Because God says to that person, as he said to me, you still have a choice. Your history doesn't have a choice. You have a choice. Because I have, before heaven and earth, I've told you. You can choose. And so it takes your excuse away from you. That's what God is saying. I'm too broken. I can't do that because of. I can't be free because of. I can't get that because of. That's not for me because of. And hear me on this. The because of, you understand that. But God is saying, that's no excuse anymore. And I will work with that. He says, there's no excuse. Where you were brought up, it's no excuse. So the parents you have or had, it's no excuse. Guys, listen, this is the man talking to you too. Kind of education you had, it's no excuse. Kind of background you come from, it's no excuse. Kind of area you come from, it's no excuse. What kind of family setting you have, it's no excuse. What kind of financial situation you're in, it's no excuse. Everyone's gone. It's no excuse. God says, before, as heaven is my witness, I have given you a choice. I have given you a choice. Before heaven and earth, I am true, and you are wrong if you're saying you've no choice. That's what he says here. Amazing thing God says. Before heaven and earth, I have given you a choice. I have given you a way out. I have given you an option. Because a lot of these people, that's where their darkness is. They think they've no option. And they refuse to take the way out. And they refuse to look at the light. And they refuse to go there. I remember dealing with a fellow a while back. And the context was, is, every time you keep on talking and doing them classes, you're taking my excuses away. And some guys run. Because they like to have an excuse. Well, I'm a drug addict because of. And if that wasn't done to me, I wouldn't be like this. And if they didn't say that, I would be a better man. And that's fine, and we understand that. But at the end of the day, you can't keep holding on to that. I remember in counseling myself, and going to the counselor, I sit down, and I start talking about my issues. We bring out the big guns first. You know, obviously the family, and obviously this, and obviously we bring out the big ones. Well, if they would treated me this way, and if I had that, and I had that, and if I had that. I remember, you know, my mother died when I was very young, and she be brought out. You know, that issue be brought out. You know, but what about my mother and all that kind of stuff? And that was a serious issue for me. And every time the counselor, he start breaking them down. Not in a vicious way, but in a way that he brought me straight to the center all the time. He kept bringing me to the center. To the point that after 6 months, I was blaming GAA coaches and soccer coaches, and I was blaming teachers and youth club workers, and I was blaming this person. And the council's going to me, who are we blaming today, Eddie? Who's on the list today? Yeah, football, and we've won this and whatnot. You just can't. And he says, who are we blaming today? And I looked at him, and I'm thinking, you know what? I need to look at me. And I remember what was said to me finishing up was, and I don't mean to be crude here, please hear me on this, I don't mean to be crude, okay? The The context was, if you stick another needle in your arm again, it's you. That shook me to the core. That shook me to the absolute being of myself. It's you. You're the one. Because God says, I give you choice. God will work with your hurt, and he'll work with your pain, and he'll deliver you and set you free. But you have to take a choice to want to be free. You have to say, I want to be free. I don't want to hold on to it. I don't want an excuse anymore. And before heaven and earth, he says, I've given you a choice. And look what he says. Now choose life. Will I say that again? Now choose life. It's coming from the mouth of God. Very simple, isn't it? Now choose life. So that you and your children, see your destiny, see your future, see your potential. You and your children, your children, your children, your children, your children, may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. 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 And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you and your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For the Lord is your life. I love that. Very, very simple. Very easy. It's not too difficult. It's not beyond your reach. You don't have to cross the sea. You don't have to go to the heights to get it. It's in you. It's there. It's for you. And God says, choose life. And the amazing thing is that Jesus came and he died and he rose again. And he, through the Holy Spirit, when we ask him to come in, he comes in and he dwells within us. And he becomes the Word. And he becomes the in us. And the part of us. And all we need to do is trust in him. And all we need to do is cry out to him. And all we need to do is be aware of him. And all we need to do is choose him. And choose what he is saying. Because he is the fulfillment of the law. You see, when God was talking to the Jews, he was saying, if you're obedient. What he was saying was, if you're obedient to the law. And to the Leviticus laws. And if you keep my commands, and if you keep my edicts, you will live long. Now, Jesus has become the law for us. He has become the answer. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is everything. So all we need to do is trust in him. All we need to do is seek him and hold fast to him. And never let go of him. And understand that he is our salvation. He is our life. He is our everything. And if we stick to him, then we will prosper. And we will have life. All we need to do is trust in him. To finish with this, I was coming home from work today, and I know when God is moving, when the opposition comes. I know it. I've learned over the years. It's like this morning. It's like when Ray was talking about the sound of heaven and all that kind of stuff. And you see the enemy coming against it this morning. Guitars break down. The sound goes haywire. The sound's perfect. Perfect until we got up onto that stage. And I just laughed at him and said, well, I knew there was something trying to stop this. And then my drum fell apart. You knew this opposition. I know you were now coming home from work, and I knew that we had a big weekend. And I knew that God was moving and that God was wanting to do something. And all of a sudden, I just felt massive attack coming out of the job. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, Eddie, just trust in me. Just trust in me. Forget it. Stop trying to figure it out. Because that's where the hardship came when I tried to start figuring things out. And the Lord just instinctively said it to me. He said, stop trying to figure it out. I am your strength. I am your rock. I am your shield. I am your peace. There's no condemnation for you. Now carry on today. And instantly, it was broken me. Instantly. Instantly, I was set free from anguish and panic. And what will I do? And how will it happen? And how will this happen? And I was set free to understand it's him. That's what he said to me in the car. He said, let me do it. be a part of it. I said, let me do it. Let me do it. And I was set free from that anxiety. Guys, choose life this morning. Choose life. Choose the Lord. Choose His direction in our lives. Choose what He says. Choose where He is directing. Like, don't be drawn away. Don't be drawn back into the world, what the world has to offer. Don't be drawn into the philosophies of the world. But be drawn into the Lord. And let the Lord then be your life. And let the Lord then be your peace and your strength. Let's all stand. Father, the worship team want to come back. I want to just open it up there for prayer. I think the main part of that sermon, if you like, was the part where we have a choice. And we have a choice in hurt. And we have a choice that God says choose life. But there's some people, I believe, that feel that their choices are already made for them because of the hurt. And they don't have access into this life. And they feel they're completely snookered and completely hemmed in because of the hurt, because of the pain. They feel that they can't be free. They can't live this life. They feel that they're disenfranchised away from the things of God. They feel that God is, there's no part of the true freedom of God in their lives because of. And I really believe that God is saying to you this morning, there's no because of. There's freedom for us all. Every man and woman and child in this room, there's freedom for you. Because God bought the freedom. I don't care where your life is. I don't care what mess you're in. I don't care what sin you're involved in. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care. You have an option to turn to the Lord. And God, in a sense, says, come to me. He is big enough to handle it. He is big enough to handle it. There's no way that God will turn his back on you. His arm is outstretched and he says to you, now choose life. Now choose life. And if you walk out of this building today, still hanging on to your hurt, let's be tough here, then you're choosing to hang on to it. There's life and death, or life and prosperity. You're choosing to hang on to it. I know that's very hard, but at the end of the day, we need to be real here. You're choosing to say, I am in no good, this, that, and the other. Nobody will love me. How could anyone love me? How can anyone be interested in me? How can I have peace? How can I sleep well at night? How can I have a clear conscience? So look at this in my life, look at that in my life. And you're choosing to hang on to that. Because God doesn't come to me. Come to me. Come to me and choose life. Follow me. Follow me. So if that's you, or if that's part of what you're going through, or if you're trying to understand why is it always beyond my grip when the Lord says it's not beyond your grip, because he says it's very accessible to you, but then I need to come to prayer about this. If you're a person that says, how come that person has it and I can't get it? Then you're in error, because the Lord says you can get it. It's not beyond your grip. It's not beyond your reach. So come open for prayer. And if any other prayer issues you want, come up and we'll pray for you. Is that okay? So if all the prayer team want to come up, and if the worship team want to play away there, and we'll get into intercession. Amen.